Welcome to another SnapKeep Arcade Deck Guide. I'm your host, Boots, and we're joined once again by Spencer Halland of Constructed Criticism. This week, we'll be talking about Spellbreaker Elementals, a more mid-range version of the Elementals deck that can go into the long game. Spencer, tell us all about Spellbreaker Elementals.
Yeah, today I want to talk about Elemental Spellbreaker. So this is, you might have seen the new Elemental decks that play Risen Reef, Creeping Trailblazer, and Omnath, and the Chandra package. And this is kind of a spinoff of that, playing Gruul Spellbreaker is a large creature that kind of helps you in your Esper matchup. So the basis of the deck is you have your mana creatures and your Land of Werewolves and your Paradise Druids to kind of get you into your mid-range game of your Omnath and your Risen Reef. Risen Reef is a new card from M20 that is one, a green and a blue for a 1/1 elemental. Whenever Risen Reef or another elemental enters the battlefield under your control, look at the top card of your library. If it's a land card, you may put that card onto the battlefield tapped. If you don't, put that card on the battlefield, you put it into your hand. So it has the effect of an old card called Coiling Oracle. It's a pretty big deal that this card exists because it's changed standard a lot. Coiling Oracle is a really powerful card, and seeing it for 3 mana, a lot of people thought, this isn't going to be that good. But turning your Omnaths and your Creeping Trailblazers, and even having this in play with something like a Chandra Acolyte of Flame, gives you big advantages throughout the game and gets you into big things like your Chandra Awakened Inferno. So one of the things that I noticed when playing this deck really early is just kind of too much big end, not enough mid-range stuff, and no removal. So we added Chandra's Triumph, and we added Gruul Spellbreaker, and then we even got kind of the right numbers on Chandra Awakened Inferno. So now this deck is this aggressively slanted mid-range deck that has the ability to go long with something like the Chandra package and things like that. It's become a deck that when playing it, it all kind of just comes together. It's got a ton of synergies with Creeping Trailblazer, being able to pump your other guys, being able to pump itself, being able to be a threat. And this is a deck that I've attacked with Land of War Elves more than any other deck that I've ever played Land of War Elves in. You just get to freely attack with a lot of different creatures because your opponents are kind of forced into trying to deal with your Risen Reefs because you have so much things between Living Twister and Omnath and things like that that if you get your engine going with that and your Chandras, it's really, really hard for your opponents to beat you. And you get in huge chunks of damage with your Shava, Novice Pyromancer, and with your Chandra Acolyte of Flame. Once you have those synergies going, whether it's the Risen Reef or whether it's Creeping Trailblazer, that this deck just kind of snowballs in a way that I haven't seen in quite a long time. So to start off, we have four Land of Werewolves and 2 Paradise Druid. I don't actually know if these are the correct mana creatures to be playing. There actually are elemental mana creatures now. You have Leafkin Druid and Chandra's Embercat. So these tap for a red in Chandra's Embercat. It only casts elemental spells or Chandra's Planeswalkers. Or you have Leafkin Druid, which taps for a green, but it's an 0/3. So if you want to go more mid-range in the deck, you could play Leafkin Druid. If you want to go more aggressive, you could play Chandra's Embercat. It kind of just depends. One of the things is, though, is that Line of War Elves lets you go into turn 2 Risen Reef, which the other cards don't do because they both cost 2 mana. And I found that to be really powerful in the deck. And then Paradise Druid being able to protect itself by having Hexproof while also being able to help you get to double red for your Chandras and your Rekindling Phoenix has also been pretty big game for me. Next up, I think we just kind of have the elementals. We have the Creeping Trailblazer. We have Living Twister, Risen Reef, and Omnath. This is weird, but I was really surprised by how good Living Twister is in this deck. The original list that I was sent actually had 4 of these. I cut it down to 2 just because you needed to make room for Gruul Spellbreaker. But this card has actually been pretty insane. You get a lot of lands in play due to Risen Reef. And once that happens, you can just churn through those lands, get rid of excess ones to be able to bounce them to your hand and just start throwing them at things, whether it's opponents, planeswalkers, or creatures. Living Twister's been left a pretty big impression on me. Creeping Trailblazer, when you have 2 of them, the game feels like you can't lose. You get your Chandra Acolyte of Flame out with 1 of them in play. She's making 2/1 hasters. It's a pretty big game. Its synergies are really powerful, and its final ability is also pretty good. Omnath is going to go down as one of my favorite cards in the entire deck and possibly in all of Magic. It's one, a green and a blue and a red for a 3/3 elemental. When it enters the battlefield, it deals damage to the number of elementals you control. And then whenever a land enters the battlefield, you can put a 1/1 counter on target elemental you control. If you control, something like it gets 8 or more lands, you're going to draw a card. This card is bonkers. Like, this card is so, so good, so pivotal in the deck. It does so many things. It acts as removal. It makes your things big so that they survive removal. It's a late game draw engine if you were lucky enough to have a couple of Risen Reefs in play throughout the game. The card just does so much. And then Risen Reef changing standard all over the place. The reason to play this deck is actually because of this card, and it's super powerful. And then finally, we have Squirrel Spellbreaker and Rekindling Phoenix. These kind of just add to the mid-range game plan of the deck more than anything. They're not that synergistic with the deck. You need some form of card advantage in the deck around this slot. So Rekindling Phoenix is kind of what I'm trying out right now. And then Squirrel Spellbreaker is kind of just something that does a really good job of pressuring Planeswalkers and also helps your mono red matchup, which I found to be a little bit rough to start with. But these two cards together actually shore that up, and you actually have a good mono red matchup once you add them to the deck. This is a card no one else is playing, but I promise you it's good. So first of all, it deals with Planeswalkers because you can deal the damage to Planeswalkers. And second of all, you play seven Chandras in your deck. So it's like the better version of Roast that kills Planeswalkers. The card is actually really good. You can also flash it back, making your Chandra Acolyte of Flames even better. I've killed ginormous things by just casting this, flashing it back with Chandra Acolyte of Flame, and then killing another creature. I've done that multiple times. Like, having a spell in your deck and having it be Chandra's Triumph has actually been great. I promise you, if you try this deck, this is not a card you want to cut. It gets things out of the way for your aggressive draws really easily. It kills opposing Planeswalkers that are hard to deal with. The card is just gas. So we have 2 Chandra Acolyte of Flame, 2 Chandra Novice Pyromancer, and 3 Chandra the Awakened Inferno. So all of these Chandras are actually really good. Chandra Acolyte of Flame is able to really pressure your opponent. Once you have one in play, your deck performs a lot better. So one of the first things that everybody asks me is, don't you want another one of these? It is actually possible that you do want a third. The more that I play with the deck, the more impressed I am with the card. If I were to play a third, I might want room for another Chandra's Triumph or something to just make it a little bit better. The card does a couple things. One, it makes it so that your other Planeswalkers are really hard to deal with. Once you have a bunch of them in play, if your game plan is just to make your Planeswalkers survive, she does a really good job of that. But most of the time, you're just going to make 1/1 elementals with a Risen Reef in play, or before you play an Omnath, or with a Creeping Trailblazer in play, and just gain advantages that way. Chandra and I have Novice Pyromancer is actually your best Chandra post board in a lot of matchups because of Chandra's Regulator. But she comes down, she ramps you into your 6 mana Chandra, she pumps your team to make it really hard, and she acts as additional removal in the deck. Novice Pyromancer is probably one of my favorite cards in the deck, and something that I would not consider cutting right now. And then Chandra Awakened Inferno is just kind of this annoying thing that the deck gets to have, where you just play it, you plus plus after you've dealt them a bunch of damage, and they're like, all right, now I've got to kill this person with this Chandra in play. And it's a really hard, insurmountable edge to overcome. It doesn't often wipe your board outside of your Perish Druids and your Land of Worlds, because its Wrath effect doesn't actually kill 4/4 Spellbreakers, and Rekindling Phoenixes get a comeback. And then its Biennial ability actually deals with, as we learned on stream yesterday, it deals with, you know, a wide variety of cards with its minus X effect, and also gives your deck the ability to kill very large creatures. So Chandra Novice Pyromancer does a lot of things that the deck has trouble with. So for example, if your opponent is playing large creatures, it does 2 things. It can pump your entire team to be able to attack into those large creatures and make your deck a lot faster. It also gives you a bridge into your Chandra Awakened Inferno. You know, that minus ability adding 2 mana to either let you double spell. I've done that a ton of times on stream where, you know, you minus and then you get to play 2/3 drops the next turn. So you get to play a Living Twister and a Risen Reef in the same turn, or you get to play an Omnath and a Trailblazer in the same turn. It's able to, or even, you know, double spell with a shot like Chandra Acolyte of Flame and a Risen Reef at the same turn. That double mana, when you untap with it, is really powerful. So it being able to like come down, deal with some dinky creature, and then blow up your like your board huge, it's just really, really powerful. The ramping in this adds to that mid-range ramp feel for the rest of your deck, and it's something that you can ramp into with something like your Paradise Druid or your Land of Werewolves itself to make it so that you can actually play something along the lines of a turn four Chandra Awakened Inferno. The mana is pretty interesting in the fact that you don't have islands. One of the big things I've noticed is actually how hard it can be to get the appropriate number of red sources, which is another reason why Chandra Novice Pyromancer is really important. Your red is kind of choked. You have a lot of cheap red spells, and you also have double red spells, but you only have one mountain. The reason for this is you need to play some number of forests to play Land of Werewolves. But other than that, you do play quite a bit of tap lands. You have four Hinterland Harbor and four Rootbound Crag and two Sulphur Falls. So you're going to have some number of hands that have all tap lands that you're going to have to mulligan, and that's something to be aware of. The number one thing that I would say is just like understanding, you know, how to use your Acolyte of your Chandra's together, you know, when you're going to do what with your Chandra's Novice and your Acolyte of Flame when they're in play together is really important. And then also, don't forget that your Omnath can, you know, pick off things after you attack and things like that. But the number one thing that I've noticed is, and just so we know, Locust of the Royal, that Omnath, it deals its damage anywhere. The first time I played the deck, I thought it only dealt to the creatures, but it can actually just go dome a Planeswalker or somebody to the face. And then it gets a lot more powerful if you do it with a Chandra Acolyte of Flame. You can like plus the Acolyte of Flame, get rid of the X3 that's going to block those tokens, and then attack with the tokens all at once. So that's really important. So in the sideboard, we have two Chandra's Regulator, two Entrancing Melody, two Fry, three Negate, one Pulse of Marasa, two Thrashing Brontodon, two Shifting Ceratops, and one River's Rebuke. So Chandra's Regulator is to help you post-board against Esper. Once you have this in play, Esper and Grixis decks actually have a really hard time beating you. I've actually never lost with it in play against those decks. It's really good. You have a ton of Chandra's in your deck. It really, if you get to make four tokens and then pump those tokens plus four plus zero with the Chandra's Regulator, the game's usually over if you have those Chandra's in play. Entrancing Melody is a good way for the deck to get card advantage and kind of slow down some of the different decks. One of the cards that your deck has a lot of trouble with, for example, could be a Danto Vanguard. This is a clean answer to it. It steals Hydra and Krasis. There's the new Hydra that fights something or doubles its counters. It steals that really easily. Fry is just really good because it deals with both Planeswalkers and those mono-white aggressive decks alongside of things like Lyra, which is something some people are going to board in against you. Three Negates and one Pulse of Marasa. I'm considering making two Negates and two Disdainful Stroke, or even the new Aether Gust. Just trying different things in these slots. Pulse of Marasa was something interesting because your mono red matchup was so bad with the old versions of the list. But now that you're playing Gruul Spellbreaker plus Rekindling Phoenix, I think that your matchup has improved a lot and you probably don't need that. So hedging your counter spells would be pretty powerful. Thrashing Brontodon is, you know, one of those catch-all things that's also good against red. And Shifting Ceratops is really good because both Mono Blue is coming back and this card's really good against Esper. So it's really versatile and just can really dome people in ways that other cards really can't do. River's Rebuke is actually a concession to, I've been playing against a lot of the Mirror and a lot of the kind of different styles of mid-range decks, and I was looking for kind of a haymaker in those matchups. Typically, I would actually recommend playing the Immortal Sun in a slot like this, but with the number of Planeswalkers, we just can't do that. So I actually find that because we're playing a 25-land deck, it's pretty easy to sideboard out your mana creatures in matchups where they aren't good. So if you think, okay, these mana creatures actually aren't going to help me on the draw, specifically Land of Werewolves, it's not actually that unreasonable to just be taking those out. I find that I cut Living Twister in matchups where you just don't need the grinding or you don't need the 2/5 quite a bit. And then depending on the matchup, you might take out Chandra Awakened Inferno. So much of me playing this deck was actually playing with 5 mana Nissa in it, which was so horrible that I had to adjust the deck because of it. I was taking that card out almost every single matchup because it just didn't fit the deck's game plan. And then obviously you take out your Chandra's Triumphs in matchups where your opponent might not have creatures, something like straight Esper control. But even in those matchups, you're typically boarding in Fry. And even against something like Esper Hero, I actually do trim a Chandra's Triumph. I play two Fry, two Chandra's Triumph in that matchup, for example. Most of the thing is that I'm still trying to figure out how this sideboard works, what you want. The cards that I know you want, I think, are Chandra's Regulator for sure. Entrancing Melody has been really good in Shifting Ceratops. The rest is kind of, and possibly Fry, the rest is kind of in flux and something you can that you can think about. As far as like Gruul Spellbreaker is something that I don't find myself boarding out. Where Kindling Phoenix could be slow in something against like Teferi deck, you might board something like that out. And it kind of just depends on the context. The format is so wide open that I find that you want cards kind of like Shifting Ceratops and Thrashing Brontodon and Entrancing Melody, these cards that are good in multiple matchups more than you want other things, just because the format is so open, you kind of need cards that can come in multiple spots. This is a deck that I'm really enjoying. It's one of two decks that I'm considering for the Grand Prix in Denver coming up in a couple weeks. It's something that I'm really enjoying and I'm going to continue to work on, but I would recommend this deck to anybody who likes aggressive mid-range decks, but also likes having pretty crazy turns with Risen Reef. I just want to say, if you're, you know, watching on my channel, don't forget to follow Snapkeep Arcade over on Twitter, as well as go subscribe to the YouTube channel. You want to check out my new podcast, Arena Mythic Cast. It's kind of a longer deck tech style show with about the grind of Mythic, as well as everything else on the Constructive Criticism Network. And once again, I just want to thank you, Boots, for letting me come on and talk about the decks that I love each and every week. It means a lot to have somebody as amazing as you to kind of edit these videos and make them as cool for the people watching at home. And then, you know, if you're listening at home, thank you so much for listening. And don't forget to check out Boots on YouTube.
Thank you so much to Spencer Halland of Constructed Criticism for another deck guide. You can check out all of his amazing work at constructedcriticism.com. If you like this video, please subscribe to Snapkeep Arcade and hit that bell icon to get notified whenever we upload a new video. This has been Boots with Snapkeep Arcade. Thanks for watching.